All right, Mark. Thanks a lot. I just want to take this WhatsApp. I think that it is corruption that enables the crime to go unpunished and hence breeds more crime. When people appear untouchable, they get bold and cause others to get angry and act out. And, you know, we were talking about the guns earlier, but one of the things that you have to recognize is that why corruption is so pervasive in this country, and is because it's something that we too many of us turn a blind eye to. And the next thing too is that the guns and the drugs that have come in here over the last several years, that relates to corruption as well, because clearly there has been some people were not doing their duty, and it would at least appear that way. And that allows some of these guns and things to be in here. And there are too many things that have gone wrong let me put it another way. See, Dennis looking at me with his fingers ready. So let me put it this way. Common sense. If you are bringing something that is illegal into the country, now, you are the person bringing this in. You know this thing is illegal. You therefore have to do it in such a manner that you can get past the authorities. And we would have seen from watching television programs, for example, and from our basic common sense knowledge, that it's also good to have someone on the inside that is comfortable with you, and you are comfortable with them, who would look the other way when these things are coming in. They may not, that individual may not know what it is that's coming in. You may not want to share that, or they may not even want to know, but they may look the other way. They may not be doing their jobs. And all that's part of the corruption. And this is one of the reasons that so much guns are in here as well. So that is why I would have disagreed with the lady of bringing somebody in here to deal in terms of the shootings and whatnot. They're here. They have to be dealt with. The police force, they're doing their best. I have full confidence in the Royal Barbados Police Force, the men and women of the Royal Barbados Police Force. And I think that they are doing a good job, and they will continue to do a good job as long as we, the citizens of this country, help them. And we can help them by, if we see anything, say something. Call anonymously and let people know what you're seeing. And that's as much as we can do, but that is what we need to do. And the people in the police force, they have a responsibility to be polite to the average person and not mistreat anybody, because there are few elements within the force who would sometimes, because of the urgency of the situation, not stick to protocol. And they upset people. And when these things happen, they give the entire force a bad name. And we got to be very careful. Okay? You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Price.
How are you?
I am disaster for improvement, but I'm okay, thanks. And you?
I am well. I am 6 feet above.
I like that.
Well, I'm 6 feet above, and I'm breathing, and I'm working right now. So a lot of people, less than a half a mile away, are lying in a hospital bed, and tubes, things to connected to them, and they're not well at all. So I am grateful and thankful, and I think that all of us living in this beautiful country should be thankful that we are well.
You ought to be glad and thankful for this. Mm-hmm. And coinciding with what you've just said, I have two comments to make this morning, two items, but I want to preface and coinciding with what you've just said. I want to inform the public that I've been to the hospital yesterday, and I had a good long visit with Rashid. Blessed be my brother. Mm-hmm. He's in very, very good high spirits, and I'm particularly pleased about that, if nothing else. Mm-hmm. That says quite a bit in anyone's illness once you're high spirited and well focused. So I know he's listening, and I'm wishing you well today, my brother. and he's anticipating that y'all will get to look for him eventually. He had a serious, long, lengthy conversation. There were some persons there. They gave a prayer, etc. And he's sound mentally, as far as I perceive. Mm-hmm. Now, all right, my first point, I want to thank Mr. Padmore for coming on the air this morning and he said quite a bit of what I've been saying relentlessly and for some time. And you know the things I've been touting. When I made the point about trucks would still not be the answer, trucks would be the answer for now. But he often said that you can't go on building landfill after landfill. And he highlighted that landfill costs about $30 million over time and that sort of thing. But his clarion call was going into the realm of recycling. And I must thank him particularly. My concern is why we are not hearing much more in regard to ultimately we have got to get to this juncture of recycling. Mr. Johnson said he used to carry bottles at Bees. He didn't worry about no money. Just carry them and leave them and go his way. Recycling, Bees bottling should be highlighted, given permission or whatever, and up and going, and whoever else want to come, and let us get to the nucleus of this garbage situation, which is recycling. What is the problem? What's the holdup? Why we can't have this assurity that the recycling is, and I must agree with Mr. Marie, who said the education must be bombarded and placed the thing of having this educated element in place to get us on board with recycling. And I think that's a good call. So, Mr. Padmore, you're synonymous to all I've been saying, and we're in sync together with this. And I'm one for recycling because I would hate to ever have to see the garbage to this magnitude ever again in Barbados. The trucks are necessary, no. But latterly, we have got to look at the avenue of sorting at base, as he's indicated, and that is going to be the way to go. And I want a definitive as regarding going forward for recycling. And I'm saying that Bees need to have a looking as to where's the hole up. Whatever it is, get Bees going. Get whoever else want to go and get the recycling element projected. That's one. Anything you want to say in regard?
No.
Okay, number two. Persons, I'm approach left, right, and center wherever I go because I can't go anywhere in Barbados unless somebody knows this role, and they say but this or that. People are saying, look, minimum wage. I've been relentless on minimum wage from the 80s. Mr. Johnson knows this. You yourself, if you've been listening up way back then, you would know. I'm an advocate for minimum wage, and I've heard persons recently about minimum wage, 2-3 persons. Minimum wage is still a fact. And there's a concern about, look, the labor laws in Barbados has got to be, a lot of vigilance need to be applied and see what's happening about the persons being paid and persons, the survival, because wages should be commensurate to cost of living. And anything other than that is going to be, it's going to devastate people. You have wages so low and cost of living so high. And I made the point back then with Cannon Hatch in those days. Minimum wage or up wages and then a low cost to come along and say that we'll be doing up one, up the next, you're still back at square one. And he agreed with me ably back then. I am saying the issue of minimum wage needs to be not only seen to be spoken about, but we need to enact the minimum wage and look at how salaries and labor, the labor situation in Barbados. I keep saying, keep your eyes on the labor situation because it's about productivity. And if you're in the IMF program, the money has got to be paid back. People have got to produce and they've got to work. And I am saying it should be a balance. Fair wage for fair salary. Fair salary for fair production, for fair labor.
Okay, sir. And we'll take a commercial break here. And, we'll take another call. You're on the air. Good afternoon. Good morning.
Afternoon,
sorry.
Right?
No, good morning. Good morning. That's my mistake.
Good morning, Sanka.
Yes, good morning.
Blessed be my brother.
Same to you.
I have deliberately sequestered this call from other calls I have made because I want to really draw attention and to relay my deep and heartfelt appreciation to a brother who's been a pillar of strength to me. And without him, I know that I would not be in the mental place that I am now. He has brought me immense solace, and he has been my virtual guardian angel. He has taken care of my laundry with his own hands. He has cooked for me with his own hands, and he has shared my darkest moment of despair. And I speak of no other than Winston Agard from Second Avenue Forest, who everybody knows as Kid. Probably the top class and best mechanic in Barbados with regard to transmission work. And I am deeply appreciative of the love that he has extended to me. And if there is a way to communicate from the other side that appreciation, I pledge myself to be able to find that way and to execute that communication. It is said in the Bible, greater love hath no man than this. And he has been a living practice and icon of that statement. I want him to know I'm thankful for the love he has extended to me. And I, in turn, love him deeply, deeply, and eternally. So I am thankful for the patient to give me this moment. I am due to be biopsied within a half an hour, and I wanted to seize this moment to relay that to him and to let him know how much he has meant to the last couple of weeks to my life. I will never forget what he has extended to me. It is a phenomenal love that I have been fortunate, very fortunate to have experienced from another human being. On another matter briefly, I wonder if I can persuade Bajans to become organ donors, because the cost to the hospital of carrying out the process of dialysis is exceedingly prohibitive. And I would rather see people become organ donors, because it's a lot simpler and less expensive to donate your kidney to a fellow human being if you happen to be in a critical condition or in a terminal condition. And I think there can be no greater love you give to another human than to give a part of yourself. So to any extent that I can use this opportunity in my own experience to become an organ donor, to give another person a longer chance at life, I would like to persuade Bajans, please investigate and seize the opportunity to do so. I think the hospital would welcome that circumstance. Thank you so much, Mr. Price, and thank you so much, Mr. Producer Johnson. It has been a pleasure having known you two as human beings. I am deeply grateful and privileged to having come to know you, especially you, Mr. Johnson. You have transformed my life. Thank you so much again for the opportunity.
And thank you very much for your call, Rashid, and I do wish you all the best. And your shout out to and thank you for Winston Agard. That is, you've been able to do something that a lot of people wish that they could do, you know, to thank people publicly in that way. And I always keep telling people is that you know your friends when you're really down, because there are people who are always around you when you have, and you can give them. But it's when you're really down and out and you have nothing else to give. Those, the ones who stick around and the ones who assist you then, those are the people who really care about you most. And to Mr. Winston Agard, I salute you. And I think those who care, who genuinely care about other people would understand what you would have been doing. And that's a special kind of love. It takes a special kind of person who does that, because they do it without seeking any acclamation of any sort. We take a commercial break and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Brass Tacks. Thank you, Price, with you, along with Dennis Johnson. And of course, at 12:30, we'll break for the latest. We'll take a call first. Go right ahead. You're on
the
air.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
It's Sanka Price.
It is.
Now, I don't know if you or Mr. Johnson would allow me, but my contribution for today. But while listening, you usually hear things. One and two, but I'll count this two first. Then we heard Rashid, and he was talking and so on and so forth. I am asking us all to pray for him as he goes through this procedure, that God would dry his tears and guide the hands of the surgeon who is doing this procedure, and that I know that this procedure, God works in, God is a miracle God, and he is still the God of the Old Testament. When Jesus came and he took over the miracles, he's still miracles today, and he can tell you about miracles. And it came, so one doctor said to me, after surgery, I should not have been walking. But that is another story. But I want us to pray for him and for a miracle to take place in his life today. And that God would give him the strength and all that. I don't go to church, but I can only tell you how I feel about these things. And let's all, you don't got to stop what you're doing to pray. You can pray for your heart, but please say a prayer for him. And not only for him, but the surgeon who is doing this procedure, pray that God would steer this surgeon's hands, and the person who's going to put him to sleep, and that all those things, everybody who's going to be handing the instruments, and that God will be in all of these hands that doing these things, and that he will remain strong even while he's sleeping.
Amen. You're on Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, you're on Brass Tacks. Go right ahead. All right, while we wait for them to come on, I suspect they're listening to their radio. Come on, Dennis, you are way smarter than that. Do you honestly believe that any investors in their right mind would purchase such land? This is land at East Coast Road. If there weren't a behind-the-scenes wink and nod, read the future development. This is one time you are disappointing in your rational thought, logic, and common sense. You would know how things
that
work.
That has nothing to do with logic. I simply was quoting what was written in the newspaper to confirm what you were saying. White people like to jump on me for no reason.
Dennis, we have this every day. You say one thing, people interpret it as something else. And then this is the, here's another one. When will the government start to pay back the promised road tax? They think that we forget. The question I would ask this person, 3993, is have you contacted the relevant ministry to find out about that? Have you contacted BRA? Have you contacted, did you actually submit any information to the ministry that you had to submit to? I think you were supposed to submit the information to the Ministry of Finance if you had paid the road tax in the days leading up before it was before the whole thing was abolished. If you did submit that information, you can just write us back a note to let us know, and then we can, you know, we can take it a little further from there. Anyhow, we go back to the phone lines. You're on the air. Good afternoon. Hello. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Senka.
Hi, how are you?
Fine. There are just 2 points I would like to raise. Mm-hmm. The first one is about the story on the back page of today's Nation. I see that the government has hired a British firm to look into corruption. And the impression is being given that corruption only occurred in Barbados over the last 10 years.
That's the impression you get?
Well, the Attorney General said that people are crying for blood. You've got to be talking about the last administration.
One of the complaints that Barbadians had in the last few years was that they believed that there was corruption. And because that they believed that, they wanted somebody to pay for it. And that's what he means by calling for blood. And you would recognize that was what was going on.
So there wasn't corruption
but
before not, the last 10
but,
years?
But that is not the point.
In previous administrations,
but that is not the point.
People are quarreling about corruption?
But that is not the point. The point is that in the last, under the last administration, that was one of the major complaints. You can tell me, if you told me right now that maybe that was just a lot of partisan old talk, fine. You can say that, all right? You can say that. But the whole point about it is that it was one of the major issues over the last administration. And that's something you can't deny. And I'm not...
What I am saying to you, if you know that there are some that stand out from the 70s, and those individuals are alive, and the people are here to investigate corruption, they should investigate all those people too. Once they are alive, they should investigate them.
I understand where you're coming from, but I mean, you're really being realistic, you know that. But
I'm not
you make
realistic.
It, you know, you make your point. You make your point. I won't interrupt anymore.
Something that has me really concerned is that everybody seems to think that the history of Barbados was being written from 2008. Everybody knows it's concerned about the last 10 years. What happened before then, nobody seems to be concerned about that.
That's the point?
Yeah, but everything goes back to the last 10 years. We have to forget about everything else and just concentrate on the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you from the perspective that life began way before then, and that a lot of some of the problems that we have, some of the fundamental problems that we have in this country started way before the last administration, because it's much more than 10 years. The administration went out of power in May 2018, and since then, this 20 months now, so, you know, maybe 2 years. So we're talking 12 years. But the whole thing about it is that the focal point of what we have been hearing over the last several months, particularly since this government came to power, was what went wrong during that period of the last last Democratic Liberal Party administration. That's what we've been hearing. The fact is that there are a number of things that went wrong, and these are statistical facts that can be tracked. Where if we're talking the economy, we're talking the downgrades. If we're talking about things that just were not working within our infrastructure, they're there. People want answers. This present government, as far as I'm concerned, they're responding to that. And that's what politicians do. They respond to these things. And when I read this report, what they're simply saying here is that they brought in these people who have the experience in doing this level of investigation. And I suspect this would be some sort of forensic investigation where you can really get into some of the details and show the connections between things and whatnot. And since that has been... Sorry, your background noise is really, really low. So that they've done this from the perspective of trying to satisfy the public's complaints about corruption. Now, if, as a supporter of the Democratic Liberal Party, you clearly are, you should welcome this.
I clearly am a supporter of the Democratic Liberal Party.
Well, certainly. Well, okay, I take that back. You're not a supporter of the Democratic Liberal Party. You are just a very concerned citizen who has views, who has those types of views that people from the Democratic Liberal Party would be pushing.
Okay? I'd like to ask.
But just let me finish making the point.
Okay.
Right? Just let me finish making the point. The point is, I would welcome this type of investigation. Why? Because it would finally put to rest all the slander, all the, and I'm saying, and these are my words, not yours, all the slanderous accusations that are being made. These types of investigations, when they come up with nothing, that means it was just slander and propaganda. Okay? So to my mind, when you are innocent of anything, you don't have to worry about no investigation. And then you'll be able to turn around there and say, but, you know, y'all were saying this, y'all were saying that, but look, nothing come out of it. Y'all bringing these people, nothing come out of it. So the way I view it from a different perspective altogether, if I have nothing to hide, why should I have to worry about any investigation? That's the way I view it. And I'm really being straight with you now.
All right. So if when they do the investigation,
mm-hmm,
and it leads beyond 2008, are they going to continue investigating beyond 2008?
I can answer that. I can only deal with what I've read here and reaction from people like yourself and others about it. And I am saying to you, as a Barbadian, if I have nothing to hide, I would welcome an investigation like this, because for me, it would put to bed all the accusations. A lot of things have been said. A lot of things have been said. You know them.
I know a lot of things, okay, have been said.
Therefore, this, if nothing comes of this, you'll be able to call back this program and be able to say, you know, the government said they brought in these people. Fulcrum is the name. They brought in these people. These people are experts in this and that. But yet, since they brought in these people, nothing has happened. They didn't say a word about this. So you see, that means that all the talk that they put down during leading up to the election and during the election was untrue. You'll be in a position, you and everybody who is associated with the opposition Democratic Labour Party and everybody else.
I'm a Barbadian and I'm not associated with any party.
All right, be an answer in English then. The point is that everybody would be able to recognize that what was said
was just a lot of hot air.
So from my perspective, this report should be welcomed. That's the way I see it. If you see it differently, up to you. All right? Take another call. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Price.
How are you today?
Yeah, fine. This is Maxine McLean. I made a commitment not to call the program for several reasons, but I could not but call after I heard you say, and I wrote it down, corruption was one of the major issues over the last administration that you cannot deny. Having been part of that administration,
Hold on, Ms. McLean.
No, let me finish my point and then you can respond, because you're not letting me make the point I called.
Yeah, could because you, they think you're taking me. Three. I may have said those words, but I said it within a context.
Well, whatever so, the context you are saying, that I heard the context.
But the context is important. The point I was trying to make.
If you let me speak, please.
I'm going to let you speak, but I'm saying.
Yeah, but you didn't let me finish the point.
Make your point.
The point I'm asking you, within the context in which you made it, outside of the context, beyond the context in which you made it, could you cite 2, 3, 1 example of corruption? Because you didn't say allegation. You said corruption was one of the major issues, which would suggest if you said crime was one of the major issues, you can cite police reports of the incidents of crime, of the number of homicides, of the number of whatever are used within crime statistics. So similarly, if you want to make a statement within the context in which you made it about corruption, please cite some examples, because context it doesn't change the fact that you're saying that corruption, which is an action or set of activities, not allegations of activities, but a suggestion of activities.
And Ms. McLean, you of all people would recognize that I was dealing with allegations. Because
No, sir.
That is why I went on to make the point to the gentleman just now about the whole aspect of the allegations. There are a lot of things that were said about corruption in the under the last regime, and that is why this report that the present government is having being done, that will help clear that up. We will know whether it's hot air or whatnot. So that's why I'm saying about the... Man, let me finish now. I can let you talk. That is why I was making the point about that. That is why this report is so important. And nobody should really have an issue with it. Now, if you wanted to hear the word allegations, I may not have said that. But that is what I meant, and that is what I was referring to. Okay? But it could only be allegations. Because as far as anybody knows, as long as nobody has been charged for something, you can't say that there has been corruption of any sort going on.
But you just said it. But could I make a suggestion building on your last caller?
Mm-hmm.
The last caller asked an interesting question. Did this start under the last administration? I want to make a suggestion to the Attorney General so that we can have maximum transparency. Under the system of governance that we have something called a public accounts committee, right? That public accounts committee is chaired by the leader of opposition. The leader of opposition in the last administration would have presided over a government of almost 15 years. The reality is, having sat on that committee and having tried to get the chairman and members of the committee to look at issues spanning the 14 years and did so unsuccessfully, it might be useful in looking at, I think you said the name is Fulcrum, I haven't read the newspaper, whichever or whoever the company is, that they may also want to move beyond the last decade to go to two decades. Because I listen and I find it interesting that, as the man said, the impression is given to the world that some phenomenon seems to have evolved. Because then you say things went wrong. And I listen to how people play with words. Because things might have gone wrong. But things going wrong do not equate to allegations of corruption or corruption. And so we play a lot of games. I'll give an example of, some information that is out there that is being perpetrated and is incorrect. The National Insurance Building. I heard the young lady who has responsibility for public relations yesterday talk about the building being closed for 15 years. I had a sister who worked much of her life at the data processing department. And when she retired, it was not 15 years ago. That building was not closed 15 years. And when she retired, she left data processing in there. People retired after her. The building was still open. Agencies moved out, and there were still some. But anybody listening to the program would hear the old National Insurance Building was closed for 15 years.
You're so correct. Can I just interject here? And you are correct in saying that building was not closed for 15 years.
But yet they keep saying it on radio all the time, including the person who is paid by government, by taxpayers' money, to do public relations, marketing, and communications in relation to that, who is also a call-in program hostess. But the point I'm making is that
As you were.
Well, sir, let me give you background to my being a hostess.
That's not necessary.
Then I was elected
that's
university
really not necessary.
Because I think I need to make this clear, because I was, and I was for about a decade. David Ellis called me and invited me to do so. In 2007, early 2007, when I agreed to assist David Thompson in his political campaign, I, Maxine P. McLean, stopped doing the call-in program. I have my own sense of integrity and moral compass. So I left once I took that. David Ellis and you and other persons who like to talk about moderators, don't mention that. But if you go back through the records of VOB, you would see when I ended the program, and their payment record should be able to help them to see that. So I left once I got involved politically. So I just want to put that on the record once and for all. But I want you to look back at that corruption issue, and I thank you for listening to me.
And I want to thank you for bringing that to my attention, because I was really speaking within a context. And And if I in any way seem to have disparaged the last administration with corruption, and I do apologize for that because that was not meant, because I can tell you that, in fact, I recall incidents from the 70s and the 80s where corruption was being touted as well. And, you know, they didn't necessarily deal with the DLP administrations at all. So that is why I can't wait to hear what is in this report, because the present government they've put themselves in a position where they have to be able to show that it is not hot air that they were just blowing on this whole issue.
That it is not a political witch hunt either, by going back, as I said, beyond the last 10 years to look at 20.
Well,
as I said, I don't plan to call, but I'm writing because a lot of things have to be documented, including the notion that so many things went wrong. But I, as an armchair historian and somebody who spent a lot of years around the private sector, the public sector, and everything else, I think that I've had a good vision of what goes on around here. And I'm really saddened when persons like yourself end up creating the impression that you're not being totally impartial. Thank you very much. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you very much for calling Miss McLean. And I don't know how that one got in, but anyhow, that's my perspective, and that's your perspective, and you're entitled to yours, and I'm entitled to mine. You're on the air. Good afternoon. In fact, can we get another call in, Dennis? Yeah. We get a call, quick calling before the news. Go right ahead. You're on the air. Good afternoon.